Amen. I would rather have Jesus than anything else I know. Amen. I praise Him and thank Him for it. Look in your Bibles, the book of Genesis today, Genesis chapter 3. And I want to say this too. Some of you may not know, Brother Milam travels with the King James Boys. He's using his musical ability God's given him, and he travels with them. So when he's not here, he's traveling with the King James Boys. And I'll also say this, he's got his approval of his pastor with it. Amen. And I'm glad he's using his ability in that way. And says, sitting around doing nothing. Amen. And I appreciate these folks singing today. Genesis chapter 3. You're willing, able, stand this morning. And I'll begin reading in verse 8 and read through a few verses. Then we'll pray. Try to preach as the Lord directs our heart today. To our visitors, we are again glad you're here. I pray you've come to receive from the Lord what He's got for us in His holy word today. Amen. Genesis chapter 3 and beginning in verse number 8. The Bible says, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Let me stop and say this. God's not asking that question because He's not sure where Adam's at. He knows where Adam's at. He's asking this question, so Adam's got to get good and honest with God. Amen. He said, where art thou? And then he goes on, he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow, thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Thy desire shall be thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. Thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you today for one more opportunity to stand and to open the Word of God. Father, as I stand here this morning, I confess my inability. I confess I cannot do anything of myself. I pray this morning that you touch me by thy Holy Spirit. Give me the very words that I need to say. Lord, as I prayed all morning, I pray one more time. Lord, please set a guard about my mind and my mouth. Help me to say nothing that I should not, but help me in boldness of the Spirit of God. I have to say everything that you want me to say. Oh God, would you take away, Lord, the flames would get our minds away from you, would distract us, help us. Oh God, that our minds be upon you. I pray that our hearts would receive your word. I pray you convict and save that one that's lost in our midst today. And Lord, may you be glorified through everything we do today. Lord, we love you because you first loved us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I've read to you here in Genesis chapter 3, what we refer to as the fall of man. You study your Bible, chapter 2, it goes into great detail how that he made man and how that he made woman. And I want to say this, but with that very thought in mind, we did not evolve, we did not come from a monkey, but God himself created man in his own image. And we find that they were put into a garden, a place of safety, a place, my friend, that was without sin at that time. And then we find where Satan enters the serpent here in chapter 3 and begins to talk to Eve, and Eve is deceived, and Eve partakes, and then Eve gives to her husband Adam, and he partakes, and their eyes are open. They've sinned against God, and they died spiritually instantly when they disobeyed God. And may I say too, they began to die physically the very moment they sinned. But we find here in these verses that I've read where God would come in the cool of the day to talk and walk with man. I've thought often about that. Wouldn't that been a good time? Wouldn't that been a wonderful occasion for God to come walking in the evening time? You see, Adam worked. He did. The Bible said God put him there to dress the garden. I don't know what all that consisted of, but Adam would work through the day, and in the evening time, God would come by and talk to Adam and Eve and have fellowship with them. But on the day that Adam and Eve sinned, they began to hide. They began to sow fig leaves, had to hide their nakedness. Friend, they're doing everything, hoping God will overlook what they done. And as they're hiding in the trees of the garden, hoping God will just keep on walking by. But can I say this? God don't keep walking by. He comes to the spot where they met every day before. How long they've been in the garden, I do not know. But I can say this, there was a meeting place for Adam and God on a daily basis. But on this day, God shows up, and Adam and Eve are trying to hide from God. Can I tell you today, as Adam and Eve found out, you're going to find out you can't hide from God. David said, if you take the wings of the morning, if you make your bed in hell, he said, God will be there. You can't go somewhere that he's not. Oh, friend, Adam and Eve are trying to hide theirself. Boy, it's amazing. Folk can even try to hide in church. Now, I'm not just saying them that try to lean behind somebody while a man's preaching. I've seen that before. But I'm going beyond that. By the way, that's why the floor is slanted in here. I don't know if you realize that or not. You can't hide in a slanted floor. You can try to get behind anybody you want, but I've got good eyesight of you. Amen. But more important than that, God's got good eyesight. Amen. Hey, we find they're wanting to hide, and people even try to hide in the house of God. I'll say this may shock you. I've seen people try to hide on an altar. They'll go but do not do business. You say, I've seen it happen time and time again. Because those around them went, they went. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. I ain't going to move unless God's a tug in my heart. That's how it is. Amen. Oh, friend, there's no need of trying to hide from God. He knows who you are, and he knows where you are this morning. But I'm interested in verse 11 through 13 this morning. This is where I want to preach a few minutes. When God comes to Adam and Eve, and they're hiding, and he said, where are you? He said, I've hid myself. I was naked, and I'm afraid. You realize sin brings fear? It does. Sin brings shame. That's why they're hiding. But we find as they talk, God says, listen to this, verse 11. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? Now listen to verse 12. And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, She gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. I want to preach this morning on this subject of playing the blame game. Playing the blame game. That's what we find Adam and Eve doing in these verses. The first ones created came up with this game, and we still play it today. Amen. For when God said, did you eat of that tree? Oh, his first response, the woman. Amen. That you gave me. Amen. Ladies, you better shout because you won't be able to in a minute. Amen. The woman, it's her. She gave me and I ate it. All right. What's it doing? Blaming Eve. It ain't my fault, Lord. I've worked all day. I've sweated. I went, whatever he was said to it. He said, all right, what? It's a woman. It's a woman. Well, then he looks at Eve. Look at what he says there in verse 12. It says to the woman, there, verse 13, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent began. You know what she's saying there, don't you? The devil made me do it. Amen. The devil made me do it. Amen. Now I'm going to say this. I do not take up for the devil. I'm not on his side. I'm against him. I hate him. He hates me. It's mutual. Amen. I will shout and I will rejoice when he's cast in the lake of fire without hesitation. All right, but I want to say this to you this morning. He hasn't done, made us do all the things we claim that he's made us do. The devil did not make Eve take that fruit. He did not do it. He lied. He threw out bait. It was Eve that took the bait. Amen. So she said, the devil made me do it. I've heard folks say that. The devil made me do it. I'm sorry, the devil made me do it. Devil didn't make you do nothing. Matter of fact, this is contrary to what a lot of folk have heard preached. The devil's never made you do anything. James chapter 1 says this, we are led away of our own lust. Amen. You hearing me? It's already in you. You have a sin nature. Amen. And what happens is when you're saved and that sin's there, you make a choice to either do the sin or not to do the sin. Amen. But you know what's happened in our day? We've gone to, as these did, playing the blame game. Nobody wants to take responsibility for anything. On TV drives me crazy. I don't watch talk shows. I get too mad. Hey, they're blaming this one and blaming that one for how they... No, they're just sorry. They're sinners. And they love their sin. Say amen right there. It ain't going to get much better. I'm going to promise you that. But I'm telling you today that we need to quit blaming everybody else and take responsibility for ourselves. Amen. Ain't it amazing that even our own country, Democrats blame Republicans, Republicans blame Democrats? Why, Lord help, if you put them all in a brown paper sack, shook them up, let them fall out, you wouldn't know whose side they're on until they talk. Amen. One fella said it like this. How do you know a politician's lying? His mouth's moving. They'll tell you everything you want to hear and then some. Amen. But you hear me this morning. It's not Washington, D.C.'s problem. It's not the school's problem. It's our problem, how we're living our lives. Amen. You want to blame everybody but yourself. Amen. Now I'm going to look at four things where we see people playing the blame game. Number one, they're playing the blame game when it comes to salvation. You say, why are you not saved? Why don't you get your heart right with God? Don't you know you're going to go to hell if you don't get saved? Why won't you get saved? You know what they'll blame it on? Here's the number one thing that the majority of sinners that I deal with will blame on why they're not saved. They'll say this, it's all those hypocrites up there at church. That's right. I'm not saved because them hypocrites up there at that church. Somebody say, preacher, are there hypocrites at Gateway? Sure. They're in every church. But I want to say this, not everybody. Everybody here ain't a hypocrite. There are some folk here today saved by grace, and they live a holy, dedicated life, and they love God, and they love people. Hey, everybody's not a hypocrite. Matter of fact, if you're here lost and that's your excuse, here's what I want to say to you. You say, I'd get saved by them hypocrites. Well, won't you get right and show us how to do it? Amen. Say, preacher, what are you doing? I'm wanting to confront you with truth. Amen. The reason you're not saved, it's not the hypocrites. It's not your friends. It's not your family that's keeping you from getting saved. It is you keeping yourself from getting saved. Amen. Hey, you're the one that's got to make that choice. You either receive Jesus Christ or you reject Jesus Christ. Amen. They're using this blame game for why they're not saved. And they'll blame their circumstances, blame their environment. On and on they'll go. But ladies and gentlemen, you're to blame for why you're not saved. Amen. Understand something here. God has done all that He's going to do. Amen. He sent His Son. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God's done enough. Amen. God's loved you more than you can be loved by anybody else. He so loved you. Amen. Jesus has did all He's supposed to do. He gave His life a ransom for sin. He took your sin, tasted death for you. Amen. Descended the lower parts of the earth for you. Jesus Christ has done everything necessary for you to be saved. So you can't blame Jesus. And Jesus sent His Spirit. You hear me? He sent the Holy Ghost to convict your heart. Amen. Today as we sit here, the Spirit of God speaks to hearts. While we sing, while we pray, while we preach, the Holy Ghost, though He's unseen, He is here, He is working, He is speaking to hearts, and it's up to individuals to decide what you're going to do with Jesus this morning. I promise you this, I've never been sorry about getting saved. I'm glad I got saved when I did. I was thanking Him for that this week because it sure kept me out of a whole lot of stuff that I more than likely would have got into had I stayed lost. But I'm glad He saved me and He changed my life. Amen. Hey, they're playing the blame game about salvation. Number two, they're playing the blame game when it comes to serving God. Amen. Ask you a question. Why are you not serving God? Huh? He's not been good? Huh? Has He been mean, mistreated you? Surely not. We know that's not the case. I'll tell you what they'll blame it on first and foremost. Why they're not serving God, I'll just be real honest. It's the preacher's fault. Amen. I'd serve God, but that sorry preacher we got. Amen. I'm not stopping you. And you ain't a stopping me. Amen. You'll serve God if you really want to. And you won't if you don't want to. Amen. Hey, some of you are using your spouse for your excuse. I'd serve God, but my husband won't. I'd serve God, but my wife won't. Amen. Hey, we've got children saying, I'd serve God, but my parents won't serve God. Hello. We're using all kinds of, we're blaming everybody and everything. Why we are not serving God? Hey, we'll blame the lack of education. Well, I ain't got the training. I got news for you. They've been generations before us. I know men were surrendered to preach, called to preach, and they couldn't even read their name, couldn't read nothing, and they finally learned to read a little bit on through the years. When they first started serving God in that position of preaching, they had to get somebody else reading their text, but they served God anyhow. Amen. Oh, I'd serve God, but my friends, I'd serve. But here's what you need. You need some new friends. Amen. Are you hearing me? I'm just saying it plain out. You need some new friends. But they're not really holding you back. Amen. You're holding yourself back from serving God. Amen. Hey, some of you, listen, are using work. You're blaming work. Why you can't serve God? I told you it ain't going to get real high, nothing, but I'm going to preach. Amen. Hey, hear me. I'm going to say something right here. We do have to work to make a living, to have a place to live, have food to eat. But I'm going to tell you why a lot of folk are working. It's for all them things you got. Huh? You've got to have this and you've got to have that. Amen. Well, you know what would be good? You'll just sell some of that stuff. You wouldn't have to work near as many hours if you got rid of a whole lot of that mess you got. Because you're in debt above your eyeballs. Amen. You hear me? You're living for things. You're not serving God because you want those things. Because I done said you've got to have a job. You've got to be able to have a roof over your head and have food on. There's things you have to have. But a lot of things you don't have to have. You really don't have to have cable. You really don't have to have internet. And you really don't need that new cell phone coming out. Amen. New trinkets. All the time. Oh, we find that we're work. Oh, I can't serve God. I got to work too many hours. Well, you need to do something different. Amen. Hey, let me say this. Some say I'd serve God, but I've been hurt. I've been offended. I've been mistreated. So's the rest of us. You want to get hurt? You want to get offended? You want to get mistreated? Pastor, you a Baptist church. Because they'll love you one Sunday and hate you the next. Now, I done something this week I don't do, and I don't like doing it, but my flesh just got done. I got to think, my mind gets working in warped ways at times and wrong ways, and I got thinking now, there's been a lot of folk I've gone extra miles helping, made all kinds of visits, done all, and the same ones are the ones hurting me the most. Them that I've been over backwards for are the very ones that hurt me the most. You know what, though? I made a choice. I ain't going to quit helping people. I'm not going to stop serving God because folk hurt me, mistreat me, offend me. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. Our Lord went through a whole lot more than we'll ever go through. He knows what it is to be betrayed. He knows what it is for folk to forsake Him. Hey, and He did all He did. Hey, we ought to serve Him. Amen. We're blaming everything and everyone else. Oh, friend, why we're not serving God. Let me say this, number three. We're playing the blame game when it comes to sin. The sin that is in your life right now. I want to say something. I want everybody to look up here and hear me. There is nobody here, listen to me, that ain't got something in your life that needs to get out of there. Everybody here has got something in your life you really need to get shed of. Amen. Brother Tim will blame everybody else while we're committing sin. Again, our favorite sin, the devil made me do it, but the devil didn't make us do it. Somebody, now I'm going to go to seed right here just a minute. I hear a lot of times, it's my environment. The environment I'm in is why I'm committing the sin that I'm committing. Well, I'll say this, it does contribute to it, but that ain't why. Because understand something, read your Bible, Genesis chapter 2, Genesis chapter 3. Where is Adam and Eve at? They are in the Garden of Eden. You can't get no more perfect, no more holy, no more sinless than the Garden of Eden. And they still sinned against God. Amen. It's not your environment. It's what you're doing with that sin when the temptation comes. That's where the problem's at. Amen. Oh, that sin's got a hold of your life because you allowed it to get in. You convince yourself, well, it's not really that big a deal. And you say, well, I'm not like everybody else. I can handle this. I'll lay it down when I take a notion. You can't. You've already tried, if you just be honest with yourself. You've already tried to stop doing what you're doing. And you're not going to be able to stop it till you get to God and get right with God. Amen. And here's the problem, though, too. You've opened doors in your life that ain't never going to shut again. And those same temptations are going to keep coming back. Amen. You're making it worse. It ain't everybody. It's you. You are your worst enemy. That individual you looked at in the mirror today, that's who's giving you all the trouble. It's not a deacon. It's not your Sunday school teacher. It's not your preacher. It's not mom and dad. It's not your husband, wife. It's not the Democrats or Republicans. It's not everything. It's you. Amen. Playing the blame game when it comes to your sin. Let me say this lastly. People are playing the blame game when it comes to the services, the house of God. I go and I preach here three times a week. I preach revival meetings all over the country. And I stand before congregations multiple times in the week. And there's times that people just won't get in it. Services are not high, they're low. Didn't go the way we planned. What's the problem? And we began blaming everything and everyone. Amen. We'll blame the building with stuff. We'll blame about the music. Well, music's too loud, too quiet, wasn't the right song. We'll complain, say, well, it's the preaching's fault. The preaching's not right. They say he preaches too long because they sure don't never say he preaches too short. Amen. And I'm the shortest winded preacher you've ever had. Amen. I'm a 30-minute man by and large because I'm winding her up now. But I'm telling you what, we go to a certain, you know why it don't go nowhere? We ain't in it. I have all the time here. Listen, I've been in this thing long enough. I've been saved 37 years and preaching 32 out of that. And I've heard all over the country, well, we don't shout like we used to. Why not? See, what you're saying is everybody else. I want to ask you, are you doing the shouting? They'd be shouting if you'd shout. Amen. Oh, they want nobody. Nobody wants to volunteer. No one. Well, how about you? Amen. Hey, you get out of a service what you put in it. Years ago, I had to come to a place I cannot preach based on the reaction of a congregation. I had to get there. Even still to this day. Man, if it's one of those days that half of you asleep, the other half's mad, and the other half confused, and some of you ain't sure, I didn't look at the top of your head while I preach. Amen. Because I look back. Amen. I wouldn't want to preach. You say, you're being mean today. Oh, no. I'm just wanting you to see for yourself. Look at yourself. Look at your world. Amen. Draw a big circle around you. See what's in that circle. See what's going on in that circle. Quit worrying about everybody else's circle. What's going on in your circle? Amen. Hey, if you want a lively church, you're going to have to be lively. That's right. I'm amazed at things as I Christian. Some folk think church too loud. Some think we're too quiet. We're just trying to worship is all I can tell you. Trying to do the best I can with serving God and loving God and worshiping God. That's what I'm trying to do. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Hey, if we get real honest, someone said it and it's just become a cliche, but I'm not going to use it as it. I really want you to, this is where you really need to get. You really need to get to the place you say, it's not my brother, it's not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in need of prayer. It's not everybody else's fault for your spiritual condition. Amen. You will be as spiritual as you want to be spiritual. Amen. There's one thing, well, there's more than one. There's several things you can't never accuse me of. Number one, you can never accuse me of not preaching the Bible. Because I am a Bible preacher. Number two, and hear me now, you can never accuse me of not getting in this thing. Hey, I came Wednesday night after being sick for 2 days, still not feeling well, and I still amen the preacher. He wasn't going to preach in my pulpit and me not help him. I sung the best I could sing, did what I could do. Amen. You say, you're better. Oh, no, I'm not. I'm just telling you, it's time you get over your own self and understand you need to get in this thing and you need to serve God and you need to love God and you need to get in your own Bible. Amen. Hey, quit playing the blame game and put the blame where it belongs on yourself. Amen. Hey, you will not stand before God for nobody else. I'm talking about the sin that's going on, whether you serve God or not, whatever. You're not going to do that for no. It's you. You face God for you. Are you going to keep playing the blame game, or you be honest with yourself and get right with the Lord? That's the question. Now, we're going to have the invitation in just a moment. I will say this to you that's lost. There is no one nor anything worth going to hell over. If I had to walk over top of hypocrites and over top of my own family and over top of my friends, I'd get saved. Because you do not want to go to hell. You really don't want to go to hell. Anybody says, I want to go to hell, they don't know what hell is. You hear me? They have no real idea about the place that's been prepared for Satan and sin. They don't know a thing about it if they're wanting to go there. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, if you know what this Bible says, you don't want to go to hell. Then we are saved. We don't want sin in our life because all it does is wreck us. We don't want to fellow serve God because there's a reward in day. And if we don't serve, there's no reward. We got the house of God and it's going to be as strong as we are and the service will be what we make out of it. That's true. Or will you just keep playing the blame game? That's up to you. But in my heart, I want God to help me to do what's right. Amen, Father. Take the message, use it for your honor and for your glory. I've tried my best to preach what you gave me. Lord, I thank you for the word. I thank you, Lord, how we can apply the truth of Scripture. That's what we've been doing this morning, making practical application. What went on in the life of Adam and Eve there in that garden. Oh, Lord, help us. Help that sinner, Lord, to run to you and be saved today. Lord, help the child of God. You know the need of their life. And, Lord, everything you do, We'll thank and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Heads bowed and eyes closed just a moment. I've tried my best to preach what God told me to preach. And this is the point. It's up to you what you do with the message. Is there someone here today say, "Preacher, I'm not saved. I'm lost without God." Pray for me today. And you'd slip a hand up. "I'm lost. I see that young hand." Somebody else. "Preacher, I'm not saved. I see that young hand. Thank you." Someone else. "Preacher, I'm not saved. You that are saved, how's your spiritual life? You blaming everything and everybody for what you're supposed to be doing or not doing?" And all today, we'd just get real honest. And by the way, you won't never have a revival in your heart nor the church till we're honest. I have to say, "Lord, I need you to help me to pull up closer." I want us to stand this morning. Going to sing. The altar's open. Nobody does it come. I still preached in the perfect will of God today. Holy Ghost on Thursday began touching my heart. And really, man, even in my own heart working on me. Again this morning, Holy Ghost got working on my own heart. While we sing, folk are going to pray.